your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family schedule onto a sleek digital display so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year, and we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 in top 5 products.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 993. This is your host, Danny. Thank you for listening here. And we're going to be talking about this crazy news about PlayStation. Yes, your favorite company, PlayStation, skipping E3 2020. So I had a great conversation with Paris about all that stuff. And also on this show, I'm going to post an audio. This is a throwback episode also. I'm going to take it back to 2015, 2016, and also 2017, where I had this conversation with Pete and Paris and also special guests that were recording at that time. We talked about our experience of each year of E3. Great conversation. And you could tell that we were like just exhausted with the amount of people, the changes, everything. So I'm going to play that here on the podcast and enjoy. We'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello.
Hey, Paris, what's going on, man? What's
what is
up?
Going on?
So we're back with our first daily conversation. We haven't done this for 2020, so this is the first one, man. And I think this is the perfect one because the news of Sony not attending this year's E3, which I think is a great conversation. I know you spoke about this on your the stream, right? And it's also available on YouTube. So make sure to subscribe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but we haven't talked together yet.
Yeah. So what I did the other day, I was like, I watched your video and I'm like, you know, I'm going to do something different because I usually do this like throwback episodes. I've done that a couple times last year and I felt like it was important for us to go all the way to like 2015. That's when we started going to the CBS radio studio in L.A., 2015, 2016, and 2017. And every year we were talking about our reaction, our thoughts about E3 of those, of like during that time. So I sent it to you and we're going to play it later on in the episode. But what were your like thoughts after hearing the conversation from back all the way to 2015? And I think you even forgot it. We talked about this back then too.
I didn't listen to it.
Oh, you didn't? Oh.
I'm kidding.
Okay, I'm about to say, like, wait a minute, what? Really?
No, yeah, dude, I didn't even realize we were starting to talk about this as early as 2015. But the thing that stood out to me was that after the public, that we, because we recorded after the public was first introduced into E3, I guess that was 2017 or something. And you could just hear it in my voice because I just kept saying over and over, I go, you think I'm joking? I'm dead serious. I go, I will not come back if they keep doing this. Because it was chaos. And it just, you know, I understand the ESA did this because obviously it must have been losing revenue or something. So they're trying to figure out a way to reinvigorate, you know, the show and all that. So let's bring the public in. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was just the nail in the coffin because the convention center was just overcrowded. You couldn't get anything done on the show floor. And what happened the very next year? Microsoft went across the street. That happened the very next year. So they knew. And then I'm like, hey, EA was already gone, weren't coming back. And I was like, if PlayStation leaves, that's it. And you could see it coming. And they left last year. And even last year, I'm like, they're not coming back. And here we are. They got hardware. They got the PlayStation 5 is coming out. And they still won't come back. So that means they're never coming back.
They're not.
Unless E3 completely revamps what they're doing. I mean, completely. And changes the show into something that could entice these companies to want to come back. Because here's the bottom line. It's a financial thing. Why are they spending millions of dollars for floor space at the convention center? You know, to have these big elaborate booths to do all this stuff. And, you know, you can't even really get your message out the way that you want. Because, you know, you're sharing the spotlight, you have to do your media briefing at a certain time. There's all these restrictions that they have because of the ESA. So it's like EA obviously saw this, you know, some years back. It was like, screw this. Why are we here? We'll go do our own thing in Hollywood, have our own press event, you know, let the fans come in, get hands on with our stuff, turn it, have a concert with Nas and he's freaking high as a kite. You know what I'm saying? They were just like, we'll do whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's worked, obviously, because they keep doing it and they're not changing it. You know, Microsoft being over at that at the Microsoft Theater, it's their theater. So they're not paying rent on it. Or if they are, it's greatly reduced compared to probably what it was at the convention center. It's a 5-minute walk from West Hall across the street to LA Live to go to the Microsoft Theater. So. Mm-hmm. They get all the advantages of being there at E3 week, but don't have any of their restrictions. Yeah. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And now with what Sony's doing, because I thought about this more, because I know we talked about this a little bit. I don't think they're actually going to have a big reveal during February, because if you look at the Wired articles, they basically have already told you what they would say at like the similar to PlayStation 4. We already know. It does SSD, the haptic feedback and the controllers and all that stuff. Actually, I don't think they're going to do that at all. I think they're going to wait until probably May or early June.
Really?
And then they're going to do it. Yeah, think about it. Hear me out. They're going to do a state of play. It's basically Nintendo Direct. State of play. It's already recorded, ready to go. Here's PlayStation 5. And then maybe they invite some press people out. You know, they'll do some interviews, some stuff like that. But they're going to go all digital. It's state of play. They've already been setting the precedent up for this, right? So you do that. Maybe they have an actual something small during E3 week. Maybe another state of play, show off some game stuff like that. Then they go on the road. They go to Gamescom. I guarantee you they will have a full presence at Gamescom. Then they go to PAX. Let people get hands on. You know, like they said, they're going to take the show on the road. To all these events, they'll probably do something at Comic-Con, you know, PAX now or not PAX, Comic-Con in New York, Paris Games Week, whatever. But then I do think, like I told you before, it culminates with PlayStation Experience coming back right at launch. That's what I think.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah. Instead of having it December, have this
in November.
November or who knows, maybe October if they decide to do
it. But the point the point is you make it a celebration with your fans.
Yeah.
And you let them get hands on with some of the PlayStation 5, the whole thing.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to say, and where does not going to E3 hurt them at all in this scenario? It doesn't. Mm-hmm.
And this, so we do agree that PlayStation Experience and XO is going to be two different events that's going to happen for the launch of both consoles. So for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Why not? I could definitely see that. Now, one thing that you did mention during your, I think it was also on Twitter, you mentioned this, but Devolver Digital, they were the ones that started all this way back years ago. Yeah. Instead of having a booth at E3, they rent a restaurant or something? Brian, on a parking lot. Have free food, free drinks. Everybody could come, play our games. Boom. Usually, a lot of indie companies, they'll go to like different hotels, and during E3, people could go. You know, another way for them to save money. Hey, they have a suite. We just pop up, play the game, and leave. You know, but Devolver Digital, we're doing the same exact thing, but at a parking lot, multiple TVs, multiple consoles, controllers, play our game. And that's it. You know, they save a lot of money by doing that instead of having an actual booth inside of the convention center. You know, I think that's smart for them. And they were, honestly, you said it too, they were the pioneers of this way back.
Well, yeah, so. because I think the origin of that started with them being, you know, a smaller publisher handing like indie titles. They don't have a lot of money. So why are they pouring all their money into renting space in the convention center? They're like, screw that. They went right across the street. And think about it. Were we hurt at all ever going to Devolver? Honestly, I liked going to Devolver Digital. I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to go over there. I'm going to hang out, eat a hot dog, drink a beer, go through the trailers and, you know, get to see game demos and stuff and talk to the developers. It was great. I always had a great time going to Devolver Digital. So when you really think about it, Xbox stole their idea.
Yeah.
They were the ones that did it first. Mm-hmm. Funny.
And honestly, I'm gonna keep it real, man. Like ever since Microsoft moved from outside the convention center,
way better.
The coverage has been fantastic. I could go and play all the games. I could do multiple interviews. I could talk to the developers just there, just having a drink. We're just talking. It's not like full like the previous events that we've been through, you know. And I think it's a great way for us to share that experience going to that event, or every time we get hands on or when we record an interview, we share that, you know, with our audience, man. You know what I'm saying? So I love that. I love that because previously, years back, it was a mission just to go inside the booth, man, completely packed. And we always have to be there 20 minutes, even half an hour earlier because it's just so tough and difficult just to go through that area, just to go inside the booth, you know? So I think, you know, Microsoft is not going to go back. I know Phil just announced this a couple of days ago that they are going to be there. I think he did
that's
marketing. Yes, marketing. Yeah. And at the same time, it's just to keep it cool with the ESA. You know, we're going to be at E3. You know, it just looks good, you know. So, yeah. But
because the memory I have the memory of 2017, that first day of the public. And I actually put the picture up on Twitter because I kept it because I knew I needed to keep it. I took a picture as I'm walking into West Hall.
Yeah.
And it was just chaos. Absolute chaos. I go, what the hell is this? This is not E3. And
it's not.
And the thing that will always stick out in my head is because Microsoft at that point still had the booth in West Hall, was just trying to get to the booth. I'm not lying when I tell you this. It took like 45 minutes to an hour just to navigate to the booth because it was that many human beings that were inside that convention center at once. It was chaos. I was like, that's why, you know, you play the audio. You were hearing me talking about this. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. No way. I will not do this. It's just too much. So, you know, overall, I just think we're at the end of E3 as we know it. It's going to change. It has to change. I mean, it's going to be curious to see what they announce here for this one on what changes they're going to make. Because, you know, I don't know if you remember, like, what was that, 6 months ago or something? Some stuff leaked about them potentially making it more of an influencer type thing and have things for the public to actually interact with. And, you know, they take photo opportunities and all that kind of stuff. I'm not down for that either, personally. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Now, here's a thought I did have, Danny. I tweeted this. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, it was half serious, half me being a smart ass. But I think they should do this. Stadia should have a booth at E3. Why not? They did at Gamescom. I mean, I showed that picture too. I had a picture at Gamescom. I went there. I went to the booth. They had a booth at Gamescom. So why wouldn't they have a booth, take over what PlayStation was doing, have a booth in West Hall, have a media briefing, because now you're a platform, right? You're just like Xbox and Nintendo and PlayStation, right? So have a media briefing, have a booth. The public's going to be there. Let people get hands-on with, announce some exclusive titles that are coming, even if they're not coming in 2020. Just say, hey, this is what we're working on. Change your business model. I've been screaming that. They got to change that subscription model. So if they could do all that, maybe Stadia sticks around. I don't know. I mean, but at least you're taking advantage of PlayStation leaving, and we're all going to talk about it. We're all going to talk. Oh my God, Stadia's here. Oh, good. We're going to talk about it. We're going to go to that booth because we're going to be curious. We're going to, if we either attend the media briefing or we're at least going to cover it, whatever they say, makes sense. Why not?
I disagree.
Why not? Because honestly,
all those like big companies, they really don't need E3. You know what they could do? They could do like a Devolver Digital, rent an area, a spot, and just have Stadia there and invite everybody. Hey, come. They have like a press conference or maybe like a State of Play or Nintendo Direct type video online. They really don't need it. I think it will make sense for a company like that, maybe Gamescom, PAX, because they know there's going to be an audience there. But E3, they really don't need it, man. Honestly,
okay, listen to what you're just saying.
I know, but listen, wait, but let me just finish very quick. The thing is, Paris, this E3 is going to be all about the next gen consoles. I think that
Stadia's next gen,
but not what everybody's mind is not even thinking about Stadia. They're thinking about PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, maybe Nintendo Switch Pro, but that's not going to be announced during E3 either. But I think for them to stand out, have their own separate event, man, either before E3 or something, man, because I think that will work for Google, not just having a booth. Like, I think it will be a waste of money by doing that, man, and especially now that PlayStation is not even there and all these other companies, like, that slowly are leaving and they're investing that money on something else, like to have their own private event. I just don't see it, man. That's just my
opinion. Well, again, listen to what you're saying. Why the F are we going to E3 then? What's the purpose of it? You just said another major publisher platform shouldn't even go. So then what's the point of it?
Well, you want me to tell you? You know why I'm telling you right now? Because this is an important year for the companies that are going to be there. They're already confirmed.
But why?
Because that's a place. But that's a place where I could sit down and I could interview, just make believe, Bonnie Ross or whoever. We could sit down and have that interview face to face instead of like, hey, let's just do it on Skype. In my opinion.
But again, I'm just being devil's advocate.
I'm not
trying to give you a hard time.
Yeah.
Then why? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't Stadia go then? Because this is clearly an important year for them as well.
Yeah,
they have to establish a presence in the industry. You just said it's important to go so you can go face to face with Monty Ross. So why wouldn't I want to go to have face to face with Phil Harrison? It's the same thing.
They could do exactly what Microsoft is doing in Paris, have it across the street. What is the difference, man? Okay, they have it. It's making it cheaper.
I said that from the beginning. No, but you're saying it's important to be at E3, but then you're using Microsoft, and then you're clearly saying Microsoft ain't there either because they're across the street.
Let me explain to you. When I say E3, that week there's a lot of stuff happening. Not the convention center, Paris.
Then what the frick is the point of the convention center? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Honestly, the majority of the content that we release during E3 is because we record the pre E3 stuff.
Pre E3.
Or away from the convention, because you know, we get stuff from Devolver Digital, we get stuff from Microsoft, which is always a bunch of indie companies and a couple first party companies. And yeah, we have the meeting rooms, like, you know, CD Projekt Red, only, you know, stuff here and there, but the majority has always been out. So every year we've been getting more content outside of the convention center. The majority.
This is my entire point. This is what I've obviously saying since 2015, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no point to the convention center. There's no point to having this thing, and now the public's in there and all that, because like you're saying, you get everything that is done offsite. Anything important business-wise, anything coverage-wise is done offsite, because you can't get anything done in the damn convention center. And like you're saying, even a new player like Stadia, it's pointless for them to go inside the convention center. I get what you're saying. Trust me. I was just being devil's advocate.
I know you're being devil's advocate. The point is,
it's great to have a designated week in a specific area to get everyone in one spot, but it makes more sense for these companies to hold their own events in their own venues on their time so they can have their message. That's literally what you're saying.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm saying that, there's been conversation in the past of people from the industry saying that it would be better for the whole industry in general to get together and just do their own thing without E3.
Yes.
Without agree, like, okay, let's make believe. Let's say all the companies get together and they'll have like a video game week for the industry. Forget about E3, just for the industry overall. Monday will be Xbox. Tuesday will be Nintendo. Wednesday will be PlayStation. You know, like, they could do that and then have all those indie companies, indie developers, have their games through there, hands-on. Third-party companies, depending on if they have, like, a marketing deal with, let's say, Sony or Xbox or Nintendo, they could also have their events there. They could have their own separate. Like, honestly, it's gotten to the point that we even stopped going to, like, press conferences from third-party companies after a while, because like the majority of time they'll have their they'll be on like either PlayStation or Xbox, or and they might have like one major announcement at their own press conference, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, that makes sense, having an event like that away from E3, just all the companies working together to make that happen, you know. So, and it's possible, that something that I would love to see in the future, man. And if that happens, Paris, yo, we're there, because access is going to be a lot easier. Yeah, they're going to have the fans. But the thing that I love about Microsoft's theater is when we go there, Paris, it is completely empty. It's only media, content creators. That's it. And then they'll have a day or two that's strictly for the fans. Mm-hmm. The fans will play all the games, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and you know, I have to bring Gamescom into it, because I was able to actually attend and see how that works.
Yeah,
that's basically the same structure. Like, again, Gamescom is probably five times as big as the convention. I mean, it's huge what they do there, right? It's just gigantic, all the different buildings and the things that you're able to house it. And they structured it in a way where, look, the media has their area, the business area. You can go up there. Everything's up there you can do. And then you have the giant booths like E3, you know, for that area. But even with that, they still have a designated day for the media. And that was what I did. I got to see everything I wanted to see on media day. It wasn't crazy crowds. Even there, it was still a lot of people, but it wasn't insanity. I was able to walk around to all the booths, see everything, take pictures, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the public comes in for the rest of it. It's just, you know, hundreds of thousands of people rolling through there. I stay up in the business area and I continue to do the interviews and the things that I needed to do the rest of the time I was there. It worked.
Yep.
The convention center is too small to do that. Can't do it. So that's why either they got to move to just a completely different area, a different venue that's bigger, which Vegas, obviously, probably CES as an example, would be the template for that. Or, like you're saying, if we're going to stay in L.A. or something like that, they've just got to do offsite events. They just got to have their own venues, do their thing. That's the only way this is going to work moving forward. But even with that said, like I said, I think what PlayStation is doing makes a lot of sense, because you don't need to get everyone crammed into an auditorium and someone stands on stage and talks to you. Like I said, they're probably just going to do a state of play, pre-recorded, have everything scripted out the way they want it. Their messaging is perfect. They show off the games that they want to show. We see the hardware. We get the price. And then later on at these other events like Gamescom and PAX and maybe a PlayStation Experience, people get hands-on later on. And we all win. Everyone's still going to buy a PlayStation. Everyone's still going to buy an Xbox. We're still going to get all the games. What's the difference? We don't need... Look, E3 is from an era when the internet was still in its infant stage, when we didn't have the communication that we have now. And it's just time. It has to change. The rise of YouTube streaming, obviously social media, has completely changed the way that these companies can communicate with us. They don't need a third party to be involved to tell their message. And that's the problem with E3. It's just not needed anymore.
Yeah. And I was talking to, this is like years ago, but I was talking to a friend of mine that he is part of the video game industry, and he handles a lot of like stuff outside of the United States. So let's make believe the Brazil Game Show, I think that's what it's called. That is even bigger than E3. That's a huge, huge event where companies, they go and they show all their games over there, and you know, the gamers could play, the media. But the most important thing, and the reason why a lot of companies also attend those type of events outside of the United States, is because they want to build that relationship with the retailer. So let's say a major retail chain in Brazil or Latin America in general, they'll go over there, promote their product, have meetings, and the companies will pitch it to all these retailers, like why they should buy this and to have it at their store, blah, blah, blah. Get some hands-on, have some private meetings, and so on. So that's how they make business behind closed doors, just doing it like that, right? And I think that's why Gamescom is successful, because not only the numbers is crazy, the amount of people that attend, but also the business meetings from all over Europe, all those retailers from across Europe, they're there also checking out all these games, the products, have meetings with these gaming companies and so on. So, but the thing, the strange thing about E3, it used to be that way back then, big time. But then slowly, they could do that outside of E3. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know. I think that companies will save a lot more money. And either way, companies will... retailers will buy all these products and games to have it at their stores, because honestly speaking, Paris, especially with the whole internet, yo, all these retailers, they're struggling too, man, because everybody's buying stuff online now, man. You know, Amazon and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. GameStop will not be around after this generation. It probably doesn't make it through the middle of this generation. It's going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, again, like you said, everyone buys things on digital now. So that whole used game market that's slowly going away is pretty much going to be completely gone by the middle of this gen. Because when you have these subscription services now, like Game Pass and all that, no one's buying physical copies anymore. I mean, it's really a niche market that buys physical copies of games anymore. Everyone's just downloading digital.
Yeah, and let's say because the new console is coming out this year, if people want to buy a brand new console, they could either go to the Microsoft store or just buy it online
from Amazon.
Amazon, you know what I'm saying? So that's another way too. Now, what about Sony? Sony has stores too. Yeah. I've never been to one, but yeah, they have stores too.
They
do.
I mean, they're not that big, but they do have them. Yeah.
But I know one time when I went to the Xbox One launch event, I know the same happened to you during a Zero Hour. They had a relationship with Best Buy during those launch events, and people could go and actually buy these consoles right there at the event, at the launch event at midnight. They're in line. They have tickets. They're ready to buy. Boom, they sell it right there. So that's another way too that people could also pre-order or just buy the system instead of going to the store. You know what I'm saying? So there's like different ways. You know, so, but yeah, either way, man, I think overall, Paris, it's going to be a very strange couple years to see what's going to happen next with E3, man. You know, it is sad for the changes because I know years from now when we're already like, you know, retired and all this stuff, right, Paris? We're going to be talking about that. Like, man, remember those days, man? We used to go over there, man, just hang out and all this stuff. Because, yo, it's going to be gone, man. It's going to be gone.
I'm calling this E3 the last ride. This is probably the last one I'll ever go to. I mean, that's just the mentality that I'm taking because I don't see the value in going other than to hang out with my friends and industry people that I respect. That's really the only reason I like to go. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I honestly could care less because all the games and things that we want to see and coverage and all that, you can get those other places. You don't have to be in LA to do it. Is it great to have a face-to-face? Of course. Of course. I mean, I love that opportunity to be able to do that stuff, but just its current structure and the way it is, it's just a pain in the ass. If I didn't live in LA, I wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. That's just honest. Like if it moved, like maybe Vegas, I would still consider it. But if it went to Chicago or New York, I wouldn't go. I'm not going to spend the money to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm always been the type just to attend events that makes sense for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's
my point. But I don't think that one makes sense anymore.
For you, doesn't make sense. For me, it still makes sense until I don't hear that they're completely done. But there's still going to be events happening somewhere somehow.
Okay,
I'll invest and go to those. So
okay, let me say this because you're saying it's not for me, but it is for you. So I'm going to ask the question: mm-hmm. Why? Like in this scenario, this is the scenario:
okay.
PlayStation, Microsoft, EA, they're all gone. It's now an event that caters more to influencers and esports and stuff like that. Why are you still going?
Wait, you talk about the convention or stuff happening that week? Outside and inside the convention.
No, see, again, I'm talking the convention. When I talk E3, I'm talking the convention. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so the past few years, I've been posting a lot of content with you and Pete, and it's always been 40 episodes, 7 days, or even more, up to like 55, 56, I think the most that we've done, right? Yeah, a lot of them was recorded pre-E3, during E3 and outside of E3. When I say the convention, I don't like to recording stuff in the convention unless you have a booth there. The majority of stuff that I've been getting at the convention has been the meeting rooms. All of them. It's either the meeting rooms, pre-E3, or outside of E3. Have stuff happening that same week. But actually going to like these like different booths inside the convention, I don't like the halls, like West Hall, the South Hall. I don't go to those anymore, man. It's always been for stuff that worked for us, has always been like that way. That doesn't make sense because it's just a mission just to walk around there, man. So,
but yeah, you just answered my question. That's exactly the reason why I'm saying
Is a convention, though, still, Paris. The meeting rooms is still technically the convention. You're more talking about the actual booth where the crowd is at, right?
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. Now, screw that. That to me doesn't make no sense. Yeah. That doesn't make no sense.
I'm done doing it. Because again, I'm just being selfish. Gamescom showed me a way better way to do it, and I'm like, I'll go to Gamescom before I go to E3.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But see, those moments, the Witcher 3 moments of us checking it out behind closed doors, the moment that you had, Paris, the past few years now. With Cyberpunk, it was because of the meeting rooms at the convention center.
I agree, but those are rare moments. I mean, that's not a, hey, let me go spend $1,500 to be in LA for a week.
No,
that
no.
Hopefully, maybe I can have a moment like that.
No, no.
That's the point I'm making.
No, no. Like, if it's like, and put it this way, I spoke to people that actually bought tickets that they're not media, they're not concert creators, they just wanted to go to E3. So just bought tickets. A lot of them felt like they wasted their money because they were in line for hours. And
exactly,
they're spending the whole day just for one game in line, and then they don't get to play it sometimes. Yep. Or they'll play it, but that's it. That's the only stuff that they get to see and play for one day. Was it worth it paying your flight, hotel, and all that stuff for just one game, one day?
No, it's not.
That doesn't make no sense.
It's not. Like I said, and I guess we'll probably start wrapping this up, but
yeah,
I go back to 2001, the first time I ever went to E3, had no business being there, basically hustled my way to get in. That was a magical moment. I go into West Hall and I go up and I see EA is the first booth you see. And they had Madden playing on that giant screen. That's a moment I'll never forget. And I was like, oh my God, this is magical, bro. I walked around that entire day, just a smile on my face. Cause I'm like, this is amazing. I got to try and go every year. You know, I remember, was that 2003, 2004, whenever that was, when they showed that Halo 2 demo, mm-hmm. you know, at the Xbox booth, I went like four times. I thought it was the most amazing thing. I mean, you know, I remember going to Nintendo booth playing Zelda. God, which Zelda was that? The one that was on the GameCube, the first one. I remember playing that. I remember, you know, playing Mario Sunshine. Just, you know, those are kind of things. And obviously as the media stuff came, you know, it was even more moments. But it's those things. It's just that the average Joe being able to go. E3 was so different back then. It was a lot more manageable to walk around, get hands-on with stuff. I wasn't standing in the line for 3 or 4 hours to try and play one thing. I was having readily being able to get hands-on with stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like that anymore. So that's why I say I don't see the point of it. You know, like you just said, why am I buying a ticket? You know, if I don't live in the area, paying accommodations and traveling out to stand on the line for 3 or 4 hours to play a 20-minute demo or something. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I know you have to go because you got stuff to do and I got stuff to do too today. But so what I'm going to do now, folks, I'm going to hang up here the phone in a few seconds here, but I'm going to play their roundtable discussions for the past 3 years of us talking about E3 each year. So it was 2015, 2016, and we're going to end it with 2017. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, I mean, compared to last year, Paris, like, overall, do you think it's too many people or you think it's just right or, like, E3-wise? Because, I mean, there's not thousands and thousands of fans attending E3, but it's a good amount of people extra.
I'll say this, just on my own personal level, it's getting borderline too many people. Just trying to walk through the PlayStation and the Microsoft booths was like trying to find a sardine in a catfish barrel. I'm trying to make bad analogies. I don't know. It was way too many people.
Yeah. Today. We're going to talk about that because I really want to talk to you guys about E3 overall. Is it a good idea to invite more people? Bad idea? Do you think having it how it used to be previous years, you think they should keep it that way? Or we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. I know there's the good and bad, so I want to get...
There's pros and cons for each side, for sure.
Yeah, I want to get opinions from everybody about it. So, all right, so let's talk about a conversation here. Now, the reason why I started off the conversation about E3, is it too packed? It was too much? Because a lot of gamers got invited to the convention. You go to E3 for the first time. So, yeah, what are your thoughts about that? About E3, a lot of non-bloggers and non-people coming. I really want to get your opinion about this. Because I think it was, to me, it was cool, but at the same time, I was like, whoa.
It's a touchy subject because we as blogger / enthusiasts get privy to a lot more than what the standard regular public, you know, the regular Joe off the side of the street would get. So it takes some patience and the ability to step back and see from the outside perspective and see from somebody else's perspective who doesn't normally get the access. So part one of that is our side where we put the time and the effort to go to an event like E3, which is supposed to be an industry exclusive event.
Agreed.
Okay. So, you know, we have our set times, we have our schedules, we have our appointments, like Paulson said at the beginning, you know, we have to traverse, you know, thousands of square feet of convention space to get from appointment to appointment. And, you know, as it is, we still have to deal with industry people stopping in the middle of the hall to take pictures.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's part of E3. We accept it because we've been mm-hmm. here before and we know what to expect. So we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see the second side where you have, you know, the common fan from the street who was lucky enough to fly from or drive or however they got here from wherever they were at, you know, were given a free pass to come to E3. Now they're clogging up lanes or taking up times at booths and conventions and it's interfering with our opportunity to do what we typically do. Now you've got the Comic-Cons, you've got PAXs, you know, across the country and across the world now, because you've got PAX in Australia and, you know, you've got, you know, different events where consumers can come and see the developers and publishers hawk their wares. So they have their opportunities to get that exposure to things that people like us or anybody else or anybody else in the industry would have. So the argument is should we have our industry exclusive stuff not to slight the regular, you know, the public, but give us our opportunity to provide that coverage without the additional interference or people in the way.
Here's the thing. How many people got invited? It was like maybe 1,000, right?
ESA,
500 from Microsoft.
ESA, basically, ESA Microsoft, gave badges to, 500 to Microsoft. And
how many from Nintendo?
That's the thing. I don't know. Certain companies got a couple good badges for their fans.
And then there's standard people who went out of their way and actually the big numbers.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I understand that people still like stuck up like, industry, the media and all this stuff. But I feel that the industry is changing. And I feel that I know a lot of people are not going to agree about this. They're not going to agree on this at all. But I feel like they need... E3, you need the fans also to be there. They're not bloggers. They're just fans of Sony, Nintendo, Xbox, or Bethesda, whatever. They are attending E3 because they're just excited of the product of the company. You need that in the industry now because the industry changes. It's not the same how it used to be when I started 10 years ago. So it's like a lot of media folks they don't like this at all. They're like completely mad. And I think Paris to me earlier today, he was like, hey, I was standing. This is like, I believe like 40, 30 minutes before our interview with Aaron. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh yeah, I was checking out. I was at the GameStop, right? A GameSpot booth. And I believe Cliffy B was there right after Aaron. And he was like hating on this. He didn't like this idea at all. He was like, look, fans should just go to like PAX and or Comic-Con or other. He just doesn't like...
No. Let me
that's what
in.
He said? No.
That's not what he was saying. What Cliffy B was saying was he feels that the spectacle of E3 is a big waste of money. Basically, he was just saying he's passionate about making games and all that. That's why even when he thought he was going to retire, he only lasted 6 months before he was trying to jump back in and create a new studio and doing what he's doing. He's saying that to reach the fans now, it's become digital to be able to do it. You don't need to put on this dog and pony show that is E3 to get fans excited about gaming. He goes, you have social media to do that. He's more worried about getting his game on Steam, on PlayStation Network, on Xbox Live, things like that.
Not enough.
I'm not the man. I'm just telling you what he said. Just telling you what he said. Now, here's what I'll say, my personal opinion, since you put me into it.
Yeah.
I do think E3 needs to be more focused on the industry, on covering these titles, getting the media and everything access to everything, which obviously is happening now. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. My fear is this balloon is eventually going to pop like it did in 2006. You're going to have over 100,000 people running around the convention center and no one's going to get work done. That's my fear. That's why we have PAX, PAX East, PAX South, Comic-Con, etc. That's where fans are supposed to be able to interact with these games and be able to see the developers and do all that kind of stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. What Microsoft did this week was fantastic. The Fan Fest, getting people into the media briefing, the Twitch party that's going on right now as we're recording this.
Yeah.
They're getting fans into that. That's fine. My issue would be the show floor. And now, this, when we talked about this already, my solution to that would be, I'm not saying keep the fans off the E3 show floor, but separate, do what they used them. To do 10 years ago.
Boy, Tokyo Game Show. Tokyo Game Show.
Let them talk. Why you got to interrupt?
No. I'm at Tokyo Game Show.
I was trying to make my point is what they used to do 10 years ago was you let the media in for the first 3 or 4 days. And then on the weekend, it was open to the public. And then the average person gets a chance to come in and see all these games and go to the Xbox booth and all that. I'm not saying deprive the fans of being able to celebrate gaming. We're all gamers. Hell, I used to get my hustle on to get into E3 back in the day, too. I totally get it. I just don't want to see what right now may be getting 1,000 fans into E3 2 years from now turns into getting 10,000 fans into E3. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It becomes a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope, and we need the time and space to be able to do our job. Like, we're on this podcast right now talking about all the games that we got to sell. Like, I specifically remember I went from the Deus Ex appointment, the second it was over, I had to jump up and run from one hall all the way over to the other one to go see the next game. You know what I mean? Now imagine if there was another extra 15,000 people in the way.
Oh, it's a
pain. I wouldn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my only point. And I'm not hating on fans because we're all fans. I love gaming. Everyone loves games. We all want to see this stuff. But there's places and venues that are for that purpose. I don't think the E3 show floor is for that purpose.
I'll tell you this, and I agree with you. Maybe on a Thursday, let the fans in.
Yeah.
Last day of E3, right? Tokyo Game Show, I believe the first day or two is like media, and everybody else is just fans, open to the public. I think that's the right way. But remember, too, this is their first year to actually do this, ESA. Mm-hmm.
They're testing the waters. They wanted to see the response. It. And so, it was certainly very, very beneficial from, you know, the press conferences standpoint. Because I agree, the fans deserve to be at the press conferences because they are the ones that absolutely lose their minds when things are announced.
Of course, I
lost my mind at a couple of things they announced over the last couple of days. That's good. That's hype. You don't need a bunch of jaded journalists sitting there being like,
that's the thing. That's the thing, too. Paris, let me tell you.
That's not good for gaming.
Imagine it was just media. Dude, there's sometimes I'm like, man, these guys are like grumpy. They don't care. They're not making the industry excited anymore. You need the fans involved to like press conferences and let them attend E3, maybe the last day. Because the issue that I had with 2008 or 2007, what was it? Santa Monica? Was it
2007.
Yeah. 2007. Man. There was no excitement. It was very like
2008 was even worse because it was back at the convention center and it was a ghost town.
Yeah. There was no excitement.
I agree.
The media doesn't make like you need more than just media to make the industry like that event exciting.
But let me make this point though, and I do agree with you to a certain extent. I saw Phil Spencer twice today on the show floor, just walking around. As an average Joe, he didn't have a PR handler with him, nothing. He just was walking around. Add 15,000 fans into that scenario. He's a rock star. It'd be impossible for him to do that. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Even a personality like a Cliffy B, for example, impossible.
They're going to stop traffic in the hallways.
And then they would be dissuaded from even wanting to be at such an event. And they would be stuck up in meeting rooms all day and having people come to them versus being able to actually go out and see what PlayStation has, sees what Nintendo has, sees what these, you know, other publishers may have or indie developers may have for their games. But if you have it again, PAX, do you really think Phil Spencer's going to walk around PAX?
No.
Without a handler, without someone around him to pull him away.
It will go crazy.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't want E3 to be PAX. I want E3 to be E3. I want PAX to be PAX. They both serve their own purpose.
Agreed. Yes. All right, so let's talk about E3, man. E3 2016. This has been a very awkward year so far. Press conferences, legit, everything. But today we had a couple appointments at the South Hall. In the convention, and it felt super empty. I don't know if it's because of the layout or people are just don't care and they just what is it?
It's because Activision and EA is gone. I mean, the fact that EA is not, because EA, I've been going, this is like, I think my 15th E3 I've been to.
Yeah.
And 2001 was the first year. I'll never forget. That was my first impression, was walking in the EA booth. They got the big Madden video screen going. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in video game heaven right now.
Yeah.
That's gone now.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
It, you know what it is? Like, I was telling P and the guys in Paris, like, you know, the people that I bump into in like, in South Hall area, I was like, man, like usually past E3s, there was always like this crazy sound getting into the South Hall. And this one was like very quiet and like no music, yeah, nothing. It was just like
empty space. Just like they got like lounge areas. Yeah, it's
and we've been talking to people in the industry too, and they were like, they felt the same way.
I mean, like, even remember Aaron Greenberg was like, guys, you been to South Hall? I'm like, you know, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, man, it's weird. You were here last year.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your second time.
Yeah, yeah.
E3 and you too. Any differences compared to the previous year? Because, I mean, besides the whole booth thing, but like I noticed the South Hall was very like empty compared to like last year. It was still packed, you know. You felt the same.
Yeah, I felt like last year there was a lot more people, but yeah, this year it wasn't as crowded. And I think it could be that EA also hosted their own event outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there wasn't a ton of news as last year. Last year there was a ton of things happening and a lot of exciting news. So this year there isn't really a lot.
I think it was exciting. Only the consoles and VR. And that's
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. It's just like yeah, the console rumors with Microsoft and Sony. But other than mm-hmm, that, it wasn't anything massive.
And it didn't feel like there was a lot of buzz around the kind of floors either, which we had a lot of last year. It feels like the stuff that got shown in the conferences kind of filtered its way into the floor a little bit last year. And it didn't feel like that at all this year.
Like everything is behind closed doors.
It's all behind closed doors. It was like mm-hmm, a lot of people got to see a lot of stuff before, or they weren't going to be able to kind of see it. And it was a weird kind of vibe on the floor, especially in the South Hall.
Your predictions from next year, like, what do you think is going to happen with E3, with this, all these changes? Are they going to return to how it is, or are they going to make major changes, or
what? I mean, isn't that the million-dollar question right now? Everybody's been trying to figure out, you know, is it going to be the last one? Mm. You know, is it going to still be at this spot?
I think it's way too early in the game to say that this is going to be the last one. I mean, something this huge,
mm-hmm,
even if it is in its death throes, still has 2 or 3 years left before it goes away. I think that if you look at E3 as a mall, there are still the anchor stores in E3, and that's Microsoft and Sony. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe they, you know, maybe some of the other stores have gone away, but there are all these other. There are all these other retailers and VARs that are out there. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see smaller people come up and get bigger spaces in those areas. So if it is coming to an end, it'll be a little while before it's completely mm-hmm, gone.
I agree with you. I do think within the next 2 to 3 years, E3 is going to be gone. I mean, that South Hall is sad to me. I go to the South Hall right now. I go, why am I even here? Mm. It doesn't feel right. The fact that EA is gone, and they're literally gone from E3 now. I mean, right, they packed up LA Live and they're gone. Activision has reduced down to 3 meeting rooms. You go in, you watch a video on something, you go in another room, you do an interview, they slap you on the ass and send you on your way. And that's that's Activision.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for months, and I'm not saying it's going to happen next year, but it's going to happen in the next few years. Sony is going to pull out of this thing and go to PlayStation Experience.
You think that the first one's out?
I think they're going to be the first ones out. Let me finish. Okay. Let me dream.
I can't see you from here, so okay. I'm like, yeah, I let you dream.
Well, but I know what you're about to say. But they already have the venue. Right. They already have that community that's all about them. The media already comes to San Francisco to celebrate everything PlayStation, to cover everything PlayStation. They do not need this venue of E3. If they put mm-hmm, PlayStation Experience in July, is anyone going to complain?
I don't think so. Nope. If anything, since the summertime, more people can go and they can make it even bigger and better. And they can still have their reveals. They can still show all their games. And if Sony pulls out, why is Microsoft staying? And when Microsoft goes, look, Nintendo's barely there as it is now. Just like you're talking about, you want to go see Zelda. I mean, that's atrocious. I refuse to go stand in that line all day to go see Zelda. I mean, I know you want to and you want to do that. That's fine. But I want to manage my time better than them having a venue set up to where we can't even cover the one game they have there this year. You know what I mean? That's kind of ridiculous. So Nintendo's basically already out, in my opinion. Sony could be out in the next couple of years, which leaves you Microsoft and Ubisoft and Bethesda. Bethesda just showed you at the LA hangar, they could easily do their own thing too.
And bounce, yep. Yep.
That LA Live thing with the Dorito corn chips or whatever that was.
That is silly to me.
Wait, you're talking about the E3 one.
The E3 Live.
Yeah. Oh my God,
it was
trash.
The concert and just looking at that, I was like, this looks like a carnival. No. This isn't something that the video game industry should be embracing, and they're not. They're going to try that this year. Maybe they try it again next year, and then poof, gone.
Well, may I ask a question? The video game industry, I'm going to ask it anyway, damn it. If the video game industry shouldn't be embracing E3 Live, and the video game industry isn't embracing E3 as it currently stands right now, what should the video game industry be gravitating towards and embracing?
Well, it's funny because I've been having this conversation just the last couple of days with various people, even just shout out to Nelson Rodriguez, the old achievement junkie, rest in peace. We were talking about this and, we both agree between social media and YouTube gaming and Twitch, you can get your message across to the mass consumer base just
for a fraction of a percentage.
Exactly.
Yep.
You hold your own event. You make it all about you. The media is going to cover it. The consumers are going to hear about it. You own the news cycle for a 2 or 3 day period versus trying to share it with all these other companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the world we're in that right now. It's not like it was back in 2007, for example, when E3 was, when you needed an E3, you needed to get everybody in one place so they could cover your games. And to me, this E3, just while we've been getting coverage, we've been getting interviews, and we've got a lot of content out there, don't get me wrong, it doesn't feel like the past E3s to me. It just doesn't. Something about it's a little weird. Like, one thing I was even saying when we were driving up, I feel like we got more done Sunday and Monday than we did Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because there were so many pre-E3 events showing us all the games that are on the show floor during E3. So then I asked the question again, why are we having E3?
Yep. Now, so my question is to you guys.
I'm sorry. And I cut you off.
Yeah, it's a tradition as it happens. Go for it.
To answer your question, Cicero, what is being done right is Gamescom in Europe. Go to Germany. Hundreds of thousands of people go through there. The public gets access to the games. The media gets access to the games. It still gets all the coverage. And the average consumer gets a chance to try out these games. I think that model works a lot better than what we're seeing here in Los Angeles right now.
Okay. But is that because of the ecosystem in Europe as opposed to the immediacy?
Well, I think Los Angeles is the wrong place to be trying to do this just because of the way LA is built and traffic and trying to maneuver. I don't think you could get hundreds of thousands of people in here.
So do you think then Vegas would probably be the best?
That's exactly what I was going to say. They need to do it. Vegas is built to
accommodate
in and out of stuff. Yeah, and accommodate. Really?
There's been rumors though that they've been thinking of moving.
Right, they've been thinking about that for the past couple of years. But with Vegas being the ultimate adult destination, is that something you really want to try and invite children to? Because, and not children, but teenagers make up a large part of your consumer base. And I mean, granted, it's gonna be the parents that are gonna be buying it for those children, but if you're going to start to try to invite those masses of consumers are going to bring their kids because that's part of why they're bringing them. Mm-hmm. Vegas is not the right joint for that.
I wonder, though, because I haven't seen any of the kind of consumer-facing stuff. You see PlayStation Experience, even at Xbox Fan Fest stuff that you had this year. I didn't really see that demographic there. It was kind of, you know, folks who were a little bit older, maybe in their mid-20s to our ages, and those folks are kind of there spending the money to get to these things. If you open it up to that kind of bigger grouping, I don't know.
They have Evil. in Vegas every year.
I mean, it's
that's like that
kind of sort of kind of sort of where it's like super specific about a certain thing, but it's hard to tell. It's hard to kind of see where that those things are kind of moving in that way.
You've been having fun, right? During E3,
yeah, so far? It's been interesting. It's definitely a different dynamic this year because you got a lot of people on that show floor, so it's a lot.
My God, we got to talk about that.
It's very, very different.
This is the last E3.
I think for you,
I'm not coming back if it's like this.
Oh my God,
I'm not.
It was a mission. I'm not gonna lie, it was a crazy mission just to go to like an appointment today. Like last year, it was a little bit open because they had like, you know, Sony and Microsoft and every other company invited their fans. It was a little challenging, but it wasn't that hard. This year has been the hardest out of the 12 years that I've been going to E3. It's just been tough.
You have to take into consideration, it's not just those additional quote-unquote fan fest attendees from each of the majors, but then you have an additional 15,000 people in the halls. We touched on this last year when it first came to light, and now walking through the halls, it's funny, my wife told me this when I told her about all the additional people, and it's like having the busiest day at work coupled with bring your kids to work day.
It's scary. Look, last year was limited to, I believe it was 5,000 prosumer passes, they called them at the time. And I don't think that all of those were actually given out, so the impact wasn't too great. This year, it feels like a packed Saturday, and that's rough. That's rough, especially for traditionally an industry and media show where the goal is still the same for like you guys, for us, where you want to get business done and you want to have everything done. To have it not as free moving as it was before. I mean, I was in the South. I think the South Hall is worse than the West, or is worse than the West Hall. And getting around it took me half an hour to get around to Activision's booth.
Here's the crazy thing. Like last year, the West Hall was worse and the South Hall was like kind of empty. And ever since they moved Microsoft right to the entrance of the South Hall has been the worst area to go. And not only that, Activision used to be in the back in the South Hall. Now they're in the front right next to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right now, Activision is promoting, you know, the new Call of Duty, Destiny 2, and there's a bunch of people just lined up there, man. Lined up. But I actually went to the West Hall today because I wanted to check out like the Nintendo booth. Man, it is bad. Is way worse than Microsoft and Activision.
Yeah, Nintendo's booth is especially bad. They built New Donk City in reality, and it's one of those things where you can't see the floor. You can't see at all. And
at all.
The worry for me is that even the people that paid for tickets, you're not going to get the experience that you wanted. You know, other than taking pictures in the middle of the show floor, like, and which is one of the biggest problems. It's like, just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And it's rough. It's definitely rough. I think the West was better than the South, but it's just, I think the South Hall definitely suffers from a layout problem. And the booths are still built for business. Mm-hmm. They're not built for a whole bunch of people to play a whole bunch of games. So lines were capped very early. Destiny 2 was, I got there at 1:30 p.m. I walked by the Activision booth and they said Destiny 2 was capped for the day. And the show floor closes at 6 p.m. Mm. So I'm assuming the demos are half an hour long and they have enough people there that you're talking about 5 hours out, we're closed.
You have Activision and Microsoft right at the front of the door. So people aren't moving. They're coming in and they're stopping right there. And it's just creating this bottleneck. And it's like, it literally mentally stressed me out. I swear to God, I will not be here next year. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
If the public, if it's 15,000 plus next year, I'll do pre-E3 and I'm going home.
Hey, that it's not bad. I mean, we did a lot and it was because of the whole pre-E3. You know, Xbox had their showcase. Ubisoft had their private media event, kind of like a showcase. We got things done.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
And again, I'm being dead serious when I say this.
Yeah.
We're to do a job.
Yeah.
I could not do my job today. I went to Bandai Namco to cover three games, and they were so behind. I only got to see one, and I couldn't even do interviews.
Wow.
Because they were that behind, because no one can get to their appointments on time. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. Now, what should be the solution then? Not have it public, or have it
like it was said, like we were talking about this before. They need designated media today. If today was the quote unquote media day and the convention center just was a ghost town because it was only press that was in there, mm-hmm. so be it. We get in there, we get our appointments done, we get out, everyone wins, then Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever you want to do, mm-hmm. bring in the public, let them do their thing, and it's fine. I'm not saying every day needs to be media only, but we need a couple days. Like I said, pre-E3, we got more done than we will get done the rest of this week. Mm-hmm. And that's just because there's too many people in the way. I know I sound like I'm complaining, because I am.
Right. I think compounding it into one day might be a little tough to do. I think expand it to Friday and split it 2 and 2.
Well, you know, I talked to a nameless EA employee about this, and he told me just the money that would need to be spent
for one additional day to power, electric, et cetera, manpower.
From kind of a company point of view, it's like you're putting people in a position where they have to work another day,
right,
where they have to be on the floor another day. And listen, I understand, like, I've seen comments where people are saying, you know, this is chaos and they shouldn't do this anymore. And then the response from fans is, it's our dream to come to E3. I love that. And I love that passion. And I want people to see what they see. On the flip side of that, this has always been an industry event where they go harder because there's a lot of business being done behind the scenes and a lot of things that are seen that won't be seen by the public for a long time. And if you look, you do have PAX Prime, PAX East, PAX South, PAX Tabletop, Tokyo Game Show, Gamescom, not to mention every single national and regional Comic-Con mm-hmm. that you do have the opportunity to do these events at. E3 traditionally has been about business. Bring this many people in, it's just a bump way too far. And adding more days is going to add more stress to the employees who and companies who are already spending a lot of money to do this stuff. And it's the one most interesting booth to me was Take Two. Did you guys walk by Take Two?
Yeah, we did.
Take Two was like Fortress of Solitude.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, we actually went inside.
Yeah, we had an appointment in there.
Yeah.
It was serene. It was calm. It was tranquil. It was a beautiful respite and oasis in the middle of a maelstrom.
Yeah. Out of all the booths, that was the one that was like
a little inside baseball. That whole booth is modeled after their office. In New York. So it's like, it's just walls and nobody's going inside unless people that are doing business. Mm-hmm. And they got like a pool table in there. It looks really, really nice. And I was walking by that and I was like, they kind of laid it down. They were like, yeah, we'll be here, but nobody's coming in.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I think last year I felt that having the companies inviting their fans was a lot better, I think, in my opinion, last year than this year. This year is the combination of both. Their fans plus people that bought tickets through ESA, it was just like too much, man. It's too much.
And
too
last year, companies were very, I don't want to say tight, but mm-hmm. when it comes to it, they weren't, for the most part, they weren't just giving out passes. They were giving out trips with those passes. So there was a financial incentive behind it to say, all right, we're going to limit the budget to X, so we might not give out those 5,000 seats. Mm-hmm. In this case, not only do you have those people just hitting the show floor, but you have those people hitting the hotels, hitting the flights, hitting the entire area, where it's hard to manage that. And even for, you know, mid-sized to smaller companies, you know, they'll be out in Sherman Oaks rather than and taking a 45-minute or an hour Uber into town. It's hard to do business that way. It's just not going to work.
You know what? Before we change the topic, I think the perfect way, I think it will work, and I have to give props to Microsoft, because they, on Sunday, they had Xbox Showcase. So they had the media in the morning, media in the afternoon, and they had the fans only. No media at all. Only the fans at night play all their games and everything. And that's it. I think that will work if they could do
off-site
that.
Offsite stuff kind of
helping. Away from the convention, away from E3, amazing, great. And at the same time, they get to meet like the developers, you know, the top execs from Xbox, and they're there playing the games, man. I think that will work if they just do that, you know, before E3, you know. So, and also the E3 Coliseum away from the convention center, I think that's great.
I think that was part of trying to kind of limit the
impact
stress on the building itself. Mm-hmm. And but they look like they were tapped out right away too, where they were like, we're not letting anybody else into E3.
Was it concept. It got packed?
Yeah, they got stressed out there too. Wow. So
but what, let's go back, because I still don't fully comprehend what went on at that Coliseum. Was that like panels?
It's just panels. It's just things? Panels. So every hour they have like a different speaker showing their game, Q&A with the people that are on. They're there. I think Jeff Keighley was hosting that the whole time. So yeah,
I know when we walked by near the end of the day, there was a tournament going on and people were watching some.
But that's outside of the theater,
right? Yeah, that was outside, right outside the was it Nokia or the Microsoft Theater? I don't know what it's called.
Microsoft Theater. Microsoft.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. This is Gamertag Radio voicemail.
All right, thank you for listening to episode 993. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments, feedback, subscribe to the show. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're everywhere on every podcast app out there, and support us big time. Also, we definitely need your support on this. If you would like to donate for us to upgrade our equipment for traveling, for future coverage of for GTR, and you would like to support us, this is what you could do. Go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com, and support us whenever you can. Or go to store.gamertagradio.com, and you could buy our gear, t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, posters, different ways for you to support GTR. If you have also Amazon Prime, you go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and subscribe to our channel. All that money will go straight to GTR, and it will help us out for future events and upgrading audio equipment and Uber and food, all that. So, all right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. We'll be back next week. Look, we've been getting a lot of fan mail. I'm saving all the voicemails. Trust me, we're going to have a full episode just fan mail. So send in your questions. Send you your voice messages, everything. We're going to play on the podcast. And here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.